We're going to make the affirmation we've been making all this year. And truthfully, I don't think I'm going to stop. I started this for the first of the year, and we've done it all year, but why stop? Why stop? I think it says everything. Would you make the affirmation loudly and strongly in Jesus' name? Say it. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It's my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. One more time, a little louder. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
Look at somebody and say, I believe that.
I believe that.
Oh, be seated in Jesus' name. The month of Christmas continues here. This is such a wonderful story. It's a story that I never get tired of hearing. And it's funny, at different points of your life where it takes on different kinds of meanings in our life. And it's funny how the transition of your life and the maturity of your life, you see the story a little bit different at times, but it is all still the same story. But here's what you need to know about this story. It is so real. It is so relevant. It is so powerful. This story, in fact, since the first Christmas, the culture, groomed by hell, I would say, has always fought to keep the true part of this story quiet. They've done things like trying to change history. We see that right now. Or to simply distract you from it. You see the change of history right now in even in our world. I was reading a news article yesterday, and you can thank the NEA and the teacher unions and some of these other groups, that they, a recent survey of young people in school, I'm trying to think the actual number of it. It was like well over a third to 40% do not even really believe the Holocaust happened. They don't even believe it. They've not been told, and time has passed. And another young lady responded to that quote, and she said, we moved from another country when I was just a little child, and I had not even heard about this story until I was in the seventh grade when a relative who had read a book about it told me about it. We're living in a time right now, and that's always the deal. Number one, you rewrite history, you just ignore it. You just ignore it, or you rewrite it. It's called revisionist. We've been on this for many, many years, but the crop has come forth now. They try to change the history story, or they simply just distract from it. There's a lot of distraction going on. We've noticed the digression of it, and on the radio thing that we have in our car, during this season there are usually 3 and 4 channels of Christmas music. And we love Christmas music. And Linda starts playing it before Halloween a lot of times even. And Christmas music is fun. But we start now. We're to the point now. We were in the car yesterday. We've been in the car the last couple of days, a couple long trips. And we started realizing, do you hear anything about Jesus? Do you hear his name? We've got snow. We've got the reindeer. We've got all those things, and that's a fun thing. But where is the story of Jesus? And it always thrills me when one of them sneaks through, and lyrics like the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. You just pray somebody grab that lyric right there. But we're seeing more. And the other day we just did it. We went from channel to channel waiting to find something about Jesus. And they'll go back. They'll give you Mommy's Kiss and Santa Claus. All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth. And then if that is on, go to any channel and we'll hear All I Want for Christmas Is You. And those are things. And that's fun. And we sing those things, but they try to divert, they try to distract, they try to change the history. By the way, don't follow the group. Don't follow the group. You follow the group, you'll get in trouble. But this month continues. We're not going to follow the group. Well, this is what they're saying. This is what we do. I've been happy holidayed to death, and I just smile. Merry Christmas to you, too. God bless you right now, and in Jesus' name. You can't follow the group. The group's going to get you in trouble. They'll lead you the wrong way. They'll lead you into it. Grandma Green would say it this way. Be careful when you follow the masses, because sometimes the M is silent. Grandma was right. We take our kids to the mall to meet Santa. Why don't we take them to church to meet Jesus? But they try to distract. They try to change the history. So here today is the foundation, not only for today, but in my notes I went dot, 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 and forever. Starts in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 17, and it says, all those listed above. Stop right there. About a year or so ago, we went through the real importance of what we glide by in the story of Jesus. But the story of Jesus is so real that Matthew said, I'm going to lay it out so you can trace it even. Imagine if they just said, and he was born. But notice, he's connected. You understand that in this part of the country. There's about two or three questions that you always answer. They want to know who your mama is. What high school did you go to? Can you make a roux? Those are about the things they ask right now. And imagine, where'd you come from? Who's your mama, boy? He was bold enough to lay this out. It said, all those listed above. I've told you the story before. I was about 7 years old, and I was in trouble for something. And I was with my grandmother, I believe in Baton Rouge at the time. And she called me in, and she dressed me down. And I'm standing there. She said, I might have been eight. She said, go in that room right now. She said, she handed me her Bible. She said, you don't come out until you've read a chapter in that Bible. You understand? Okay, all right, I'm fine. So I go in there, and I did what I had to do to get out of jail, you know. And I walk in there, and they said, I don't remember quite a lot of this. And I walked out of the room. She said, did you read your Bible? Yes. Well, what did it say? What did you read? I said, I don't really know. A whole bunch of guys begat each other. That's all I know. She said, you think you could have started later in the chapter, but that's okay. I'll take that. All those listed above include, watch this, 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylon exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. You're not, this story wasn't made up under a tree one afternoon. There's history, there's a thread. There's a thread, born this day, born this day. So then we pick up in verse 18. So this is how the Messiah was born. This is it, here it is, y'all. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant. Notice this statement here. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I stopped and looked at that line for a long time. I looked at the screen while I was sitting there. And it says right there, before she was married, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. So many levels on this story. What was put inside of her, what was going to be birthed, was put inside of her by the Holy Spirit. Can I lovingly step out and be a little bold with you? I believe the Holy Spirit wants to plant something in you, something that will bring birth, something of life, something of power, something of blessing. I believe that that's always been the goal of the Holy Spirit, to plant something inside of us. Verse 19, Joseph, they don't say enough about Joseph. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he had already made the decision to quietly to break off the engagement. As he was considering this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now notice, it wasn't just Joseph. Joseph, covenant man, man with history, man with pedigree. Joseph, son of David. What a godly title to him. Carmen wrote that great song, Jesus, son of David, king of the ages. His name is life. But he says it about Joseph today. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do you always find it kind of fun that all through the scripture, when an angel shows up or walks through the wall or something comes and this angel starts, first thing they say, don't be afraid. No fooling. Don't be afraid. Speaking comfort. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Take this in, y'all. There it is. This is how it happened, it says there in verse 18. This is how the Messiah was born. And Joseph is being told that right now. There you have it. And she will have a son. Now notice this wording here. You've never looked at this. And you. That was in holding also with the tradition of that day. You saw it when Zacharias, his name shall be called what? John. Remember that story. You shall be the one. Now, at any point of this story, somebody could have dropped the ball. Joseph could have ignored the word from the angel. He could have named him something else. You are to name him Jesus. That means Savior, by the way. For he will save not your people, his people. Notice there's already a lordship thing going on there from their sins. And all of this occurred, watch this, to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. You know who that prophet was? His name was Isaiah. And hundreds of years before, Isaiah laid it out. Isaiah laid it out for him right now. And in paraphrasing Isaiah 7, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to his son. They will call his name Emmanuel. Now notice this. They, talking about them together. Each one of us are called, by the way, to name his name. His name should be on your lips. His name should be on your lips. That name is the lightning bolt of hell. That thing frightens hell. Demons hate that name. That name, they will let you use it in any other way possible except in saying holy is his name. You will name him Emmanuel. And you know what that means? God is with us. God is with us. Watch this. I told you there could be breakdowns. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up. By the way, it's really important after the word of the Lord comes to you, you wake up. What are you going to do with the word you've heard? Wake up. Wake up. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. This is the important quote, and I put in quotes, the connection component. He did as what the word of the Lord said. You know, your life will be a whole lot better if you do what the Lord says, if you wake up. And it said, and then he took Mary as his wife. He knew it wouldn't be easy. This was scandalous in those days. This was an offense that could get you stoned. How scandalous. And you know how church people talk. By the way, there's not a lot said about Joseph. But what a godly man. We know he was of the covenant heritage. We know that he faithfully stayed with Mary, because if you read Matthew a little bit later on in Matthew, I think it's around the 13th chapter, we do know that together, Jesus probably had at least four brothers. And one sister is named, no telling how many more. Don't you know that's probably the first time the argument came in the bedroom, "Mom always liked you best." So I honor Joseph today by hearing that word. But here we are. The calendar dictates what we're going to celebrate, but your life should not be dictated by that calendar. It should always revolve around the name Jesus. It's all about Jesus, that very special name. All this month, Christmas is about that name and that story, regardless of what they try to tell you. And the story must be told. And by the way, how is it told? It's our job. It's our job with our walk, with our witness, with our lives. You can honor and smile at folks, but we, as a family together, we believe the story. What a great, great story it was. You know, a lot of my life has revolved around songs and music. I've grown up around so many of them, but I've learned to appreciate some of the heritage of some of those songs. They're fading away. They're going fast, and we need to look at. There was a precious lady. We've sung some of her songs for years. Probably, they probably believe that she was the most consequential songwriter of the 19th century. Her name was Fanny Crosby, one of our most revered writers ever. She wrote nearly 8,000 songs by herself and with collaborators. Blinded at an early age. Maybe you remember singing in church. I'll throw you a few out. Fanny Crosby wrote, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." Or maybe as a young person you sang and it was one of the youth songs they sang, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." Or you might remember a full big church sound, "Redeemed how I love to proclaim it." Or maybe a high church, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Or the praise song that was written when they were doing a very similar to what Lynn and Pat do. And she heard a lady cry out in a meeting, "Lord, do not pass me by." And Fanny Crosby wrote, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." She wrote, near the cross, be my glory ever. If you came from traditional evangelical backgrounds, these are ringing bells in you right there. "I am thine, O Lord, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." And of course, probably my favorite that she ever wrote was a young blind girl that said, "I'm watching and waiting, I'm looking above, this is my story. This is my," Fanny Crosby. But around 1880, Fanny Crosby and a man by the name of John Sweeney, by the way, they were members of the same church. And John Sweeney, they were dealing with young people and children, and they were trying to teach Bible stories, and they were writing songs. And Fanny Crosby and John Sweeney got together and collaborated on a special song for a Sunday school class that has since touched millions. Maybe you've never heard it because it's old. It's old. And it gets forgotten. Things get papered and painted over it. But you might remember it. I remember as a little kid hearing, I can't remember which one it was, but I remember hearing one of the old radio programs. I think it might have been the old original Back to the Bible. And I remember at the radio station I was working, I'd play these tapes after another. And they'd sing, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." A beloved song written for Sunday school kids. And what they did, the genius of their lyric, if you want to, by the way, sometimes you ought to get a hymnal and just read lyrics sometimes. And there's one of the, and they tell the story of Jesus. And it actually starts with the Christmas story. And one of the verses says, "Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. And it goes to the very last verse of the story that is so poignant, that says, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. There's such power in that story. Such power in that song. I haven't read that for years, but I was drawn to it. In fact, I really ignored it because it wasn't modern and hip as I was a kid listening to it, but it's so profound. Tell me the story of Jesus. What are we trying to do for this month? Trying to tell the story. Trying to tell the story. Trying to tell the story. There's some great characters, in, especially in the growth of the evangelical church and the worship, the music that came through the Wesley brothers, Cliff Barrows with Billy Graham, Vep Ellis with Oral Roberts, some of the people that led. There was a very famous singer, and he was an evangelist. His name was Homer Roadhaver. Now, you might have seen the name Roadhaver on a lot of hymnals over the years in publishing. He actually went into publishing, and he actually lived until 1955, by the way. But he described that he would go places and he would teach these songs, a lot of times selling even the songbooks, making them available to people. There was no other way. And the singing evangelists, that's how they supported. They would take the songbooks and sell them. And during World, listen what he said about this song in World War One. During World War One, Homer Roadhaver said, I sang the song, tell me the story of Jesus. And I did this to many of the groups of the soldiers who were in France. And he said many times it was an old shell-torn down barracks. In dugouts where only a little candle was there so I could read the words. Sometimes it was in the open as a line of soldiers would march in front and stop for some rest. And I would sing to them, tell me the story of Jesus. He said in October of 1918 in the Argonne Forest, look that up. You'll have to look it up. It won't be in a history book. Just as a big drive had started, no matter where I sang the songs, the soldiers would stop. They would take off their dirty service caps or hang their helmets in their arms and remain perfectly quiet and still. There was no other song that I sang that had this same effect on them. Because he began to tell that story, and there's something inside of us, birthed in us, that when we hear that, we go, yes. He said they stood there, they remained perfectly quiet. There was no other song I sang that had the same effect. I met many men after the war and referred to the unusual situations where this song had been sung during World War One. The impression that the song had made upon them at the time helped them in their time of need. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. What I've been trying to do this month, tell the story of Jesus. Oh, not for you, but for me. I have found out if I hear it and it moves me, I can explain it better. Nothing any worse than somebody standing up telling you something that you should be doing and you know they ain't done it or have not even been moved by it. I don't understand when people do what I do, but once a year they get a little book from their headquarters and there's 52 Sundays there and they're told what they're going to say. I don't think I could do that. My ADD is too bad. I can't just stay there. Jesus is the story, and what a story it is to tell. And today in 2023, it is our calling to keep telling the story. How do we tell the story? Start with your story. You don't have to have some big thing. Just want to tell you, man, Lord's touched my life. That's all. You saw that illustrated in the scripture. The guy's running down the road, and the religious people are all ticked off that the religious day's been messed up. He said, look, I don't understand all the whys. I don't understand all the wherefores, but let me just tell you this. I once was blind, but now I see. I don't understand it, but I just know. That's how we can start. What happened to you? Not somebody else's experience, but what happened to you? That's the most effective testimony. You can even start, my life's been changed. The atmosphere of my home has changed. My heart's changed. I've changed. I just believe this. That way you can talk about the real meaning of Christmas in spite of what TV tells you. Because it's that story that has changed so many lives. Ask a man by the name of Saul when he was walking down the road. I like the King James verbiage. It said he was breathing threatenings and slaughters. He was going to take out the Christians. And he had an encounter with this Jesus. He had an encounter. Galatians said it this way, because, the story changed his life. Galatians 1, he said, this letter is from Paul. I'm an apostle, y'all. I wasn't appointed by any group of people, by any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. That's his Christmas story. That was his Christmas gift. Further on, I love his humility, but I like his boldness, reminding them. 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I've passed this on to you what was most important and what had also been passed to me. What's the story? The story is Jesus died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. It was all there. I don't know what to say. Oh, I understand you could say, tell me the story, but I just don't know what to say. But the story is so simple. If somebody started it simply, humans are born into sin. Now, a lot of people, they can't get their mind over that thing right there. Oh, that precious little baby. No, they're awful. We were all born in that. We were born in sin. David talks about it. The scripture talks about it. There's a nature that's put into them that and you've put some things in them, but there's a nature that's in them when they come out the wrapping. There's a nature in them. You never one time, if you ever had one of those little curtain climbers in your house, you have never one time had to say, now listen, here, I'm going to teach you something, man. Here's what you do. When you can't get your way, I want you to hit the ground. I want you to scream. I want you to get red in the face. I want you to beat the ground. I want you to kick your feet. I want you to scream bloody murder. Lynn and I were eating at a restaurant the other night, and a little sweetie was over there just having a time of life. Nobody had to train Precious to do that thing right there. And all into and everything was real, real quiet. And I wasn't saying anything. And we were eating, and we didn't even look at it. And Linda goes, thank God I'm past that. Humans were born into sin. It is that sin nature born in us that separated us from God, because we inherited that from the first Adam. That is called the Adamic nature. That's why we need Christmas. And before the foundation of the earth, God knew that he would make a way for man to be forgiven. It would be through his son who would come to earth as a man, living a life that was sinless. He would give his life as a sacrifice. He would come out of the grave like she wrote in the song, defeating sin. Defeating death for all those who would put their trust in that Christmas present. Further on, Paul was telling Timothy how to preach it. He said, son, you need to remind them there's just one God. There's one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. The man who gave himself, stop right there. When we started this a few weeks ago, in fact, right before we started this, we talked about the concept of love. What is one of the manifestations of love? God so loved that he gave. So this is the continue, and that's where where we talk about our giving right now. There's one medium, the man, Christ Jesus. He gave himself a ransom to buy us back, to pay a penalty we could not pay, to be testified in due time. That due time, there's a lot of space between those two words, isn't there? For Christmas, we love all the fun stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. Do it, rejoice, have a good time, laugh big. That's all part of the spirit. But make the story the priority. That's where the power is. That's what hell knows. That's why hell rages. That's why there is war. That's why we change focus and the direction away from his name. We'll have reindeers. We'll have polar bears. Guy said, if I pass my neighbor's house out front, I have to believe that there were polar bears at the birth of Jesus there and all these other animals there. No. Hell knows this. There's power. That's why there is war right now. That's why we need you to tell the story of Jesus. What's written on your heart? Gavin Ashenden, he's an Anglican bishop. He's a godly man. He's made a stand in England. He was actually one of the pastors of the Queen, and he broke away because he was preaching the word too uncomfortably. And people will celebrate this time and willfully take him off, move Jesus from the focal point. I said it last week in the foundation. The culture is trying to choke out his name at any point they can do it. Years and years ago, we got excited when we drove through the park for the first couple of years. And it was Christmas in the Oaks. But pretty soon, powers that be said, we need to change that. We're offending some people. One old guy said the other day, we ought to be more worried about if we're offending God. And it might still be beautiful and gorgeous and one of the prettiest things you'll ever see, but now it's a celebration in the Oaks. There ain't no celebration without Christmas, I'll tell you that. Amen. Gavin Ashenden said it this way, once you have taken God off of his pedestal, who gets to decide what's true? You take the word of God out of our laws and our life, who's going to be the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong? Who's going to make that decision right there? Once you've taken God off of his pedestal, who gets to decide what is true? You ought to read some of the things he's written. So to you today, you shall call his name Jesus. Don't be ashamed to name his name. His name is so special. And what a story it is to tell. I've been talking about some of my singing friends. One of those ladies wrote this many years ago. Listen to it. It's the story. And she wrote, Jesus, the mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness have turned to love and forgiveness, and arguments cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious with fever, and I've watched that little body grow quiet and that fever brow cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper earth's sweetest name, Jesus, Jesus. Nothing's changed. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it, but yet it still stands. Remember the due time part I read in the scripture? This is it. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race shall raise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So she brings it back to the beginning. She said, so you see, it was not mere chance that caused the angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. And Gloria Gaither ended it by saying, there is something about that name. So tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Boy, that'll come out of you. You'll be amazed that if it's in you, it just comes out. You don't have to think up something to do. It could be as simple as somebody, a clerk somewhere. I've done it many times. I've done it in a restaurant. I've done it with different people. Just, hey, not a show, not lifting my voice, trying to put on showbiz or try to do some manipulation thing that I've seen people do. No. Just a simple, hey, give me your hand right now. Father, right now, I ask you to touch this person in Jesus' name. You are a good God, and I'll drop some word in there. You've said you love us. Your scripture says that by your stripes we are healed. We claim that for my friend right now. And it just comes out of you. The story starts with Jesus. The story ends with Jesus. I wrote two statements to give you. So keep living the story. The next line, keep telling the story. Keep living the story. Keep telling the story. How does that happen? You just keep reading the story. You just keep living in the story. You keep loving the story. I will tell you this. This might be the most uncomfortable thing you might hear today. It's getting closer and closer to the time that we will not be able to sit on the fence. That we'll not be able to sit on the fence because we'll be challenged on so many levels. I saw a devotional the other day. It said, there's a guy sitting on a fence between heaven and hell. He can't choose which way he wants to go. Satan comes back and tells the man to come with him to hell. And a man said, no, I haven't chosen which side yet. And Satan laughed and said, sitting on the fence is a choice. The season starts with come and see. We'll talk about that in the next few weeks. The season starts with a come and see, and it ends with a go and tell. Tell me the story of Jesus. Come and see him. Come see where we've laid him. Now go tell. Fast forward, 33 years later, 33 years later, ladies come to the tomb. The angel says, come see where he was. Now go tell. It hasn't changed in 2023. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Everything in our lives hinges on this story. For the child of God, yes, the story has always been one of wonder, of excitement and anticipation. Why? Because this story is a story of my past. This story is of my present, and it is the story of my future. How important is the story? This story has changed the course of history. Paul said, the story has changed me. And I stand before you speaking for me and my house. The story has changed us. Let it change you.